Joining us now, BlackRock Chief Investment Strategist, Russ Kestridge. Good morning, Russ.
Kathleen, good morning.
You know, I would have thought I was asking you first about Iraq and the latest battles and what's happening there for the very top of the show. But after that inflation report this morning, where the CPI came in at 2.1% on the year-over-year headline, 2.0 on the core, it seems like that is something that is really entering the markets debate this morning as well.
Well, I think it is. One of the articles of faith we've had and what's really helped stocks over the past several years is that inflation's low. It's not a threat. And not only is that good for stock valuations, but it also means that the Fed can take its time. And while inflation is not really spiking in any meaningful way, the reality is it does appear to have bottomed. It is ticking a bit higher. And that does suggest, among other things, that the Fed may go a little bit earlier with the first rate hike than the market had expected.
Is this a healthier kind of inflation, Russ, if that's possible? We're seeing core inflation showing a pickup, and it's due to rents and services inflation and so forth. Is that better than energy inflation?
Well, it certainly means that the economy is improving, that this is not just a matter of commodity prices or energy prices, but there is a broader pricing power that's starting to take hold in the economy, and that's indicative of stronger growth. And I think we've seen that in the other numbers. So basically, this report is in line with the other numbers we've seen the last few months, that slowdown, that contraction we had in the first quarter was really about the weather. And now that we've gotten past the winter, we're seeing a stronger economy take hold.
Well, Russ, let's get to what you just said, that this signals that the Fed could be raising rates sooner than forecast. The market's betting, if you ask many economists and even many and strategists like you, around mid-2015, Craig Torres from our Bloomberg Federal Reserve team in Washington has a story showing that if you really look at what the Eurodollar markets are suggesting, they're looking for rates to rise quicker than a lot of people seem to be in the market. What does that mean for stocks? And how would you change your forecast of the Fed maybe making that move sooner than we thought?
You know, I think it's more about the context than the timing of the first move. I mean, the truth is, if the Fed goes next July or they go next April, I don't think that in itself is going to have a big impact on the stock market. There are two more important questions I think you want to ask, the first of which, are rates rising in the context of a normalizing economy? In other words, are rates rising because the economy is getting stronger? If that's the case, then I think stocks can handle a modest rise in rates. The second question goes to that use of the word modest. And really it comes down to if rates are rising, but they're rising at a reasonable or slow pace, and they're doing so because the economy is getting better and it's real rates rather than inflation expectations that are rising, I think the stock market can withstand that. What's going to be a bigger threat for stocks is if we have an oil spike and that leads to a increase in inflation, which clearly right now the market is not expecting.
So, Ross, you were talking about whether the Fed moved in April or July, that particular difference wouldn't have that much of an impact on stocks. It's more the context of when the Fed moves and why the Fed would be moving. And if it's rates rising at a slower pace, the stock market could withstand that. What was the second question? You said there were two questions that we needed to really watch.
Well, the second is, again, what is the catalyst for the Fed raising rates? The Fed is raising rates as part of this planned effort to withdraw accommodation because the economy is normalizing. Again, that's not necessarily a bad environment for stocks. Rates are rising from a very low level. A stronger economy will help earnings. So these are all positives. However, if we do get an unexpected spike in inflation, that's something different. And that would be a more problematic environment for stocks. The Fed may have to act more aggressively than they planned. And higher inflation also suggests that multiples on stocks, the valuations, should arguably be lower than they are today. So I think this inflation question is going to be very key for the market over the next 6 to 12 months.
Let's just stay on this for a minute, because you say higher inflation would put some question on the valuations. Explain that, because in a very simplistic way of looking at this, higher inflation would mean companies can raise their prices. And if they can raise their prices, then potentially they can boost their profits. So put that all together for us.
Kathleen, you're exactly right. And a certain amount of inflation is good for a company. Matter of fact, if you look at the relationship between inflation and stock valuations, up to a point, as you suggest, higher inflation is actually good because it does mean pricing power. It does mean companies can raise their revenue. But at some point, there is too much of a good thing. And if inflation starts to climb above that 3 or 4% level, we're nowhere near it now, but if that were to happen, that's a game changer. And typically what happens is that once inflation starts to get to that level and above, you actually see an inverse relationship between stocks and inflation. In other words, at that point, the positive benefit that stocks get and companies get from higher pricing power is eroded by the fact that when inflation is in the 4% range, investors are normally willing to pay less for a dollar of earnings. In other words, the multiples go down.
What is the likelihood of inflation getting up to 4%, Ross?
Well, I think the good news right now is, absent a spike in oil prices, it's low. There's still a lot of spare capacity in the economy. Wages, as we all know, are rising very slowly. So I think unless you get some sort of exogenous shock, let's say events in the Middle East continue to unwind and oil goes to 125 or 130 and stays there, then I don't think we're looking at a situation where inflation is likely to rise.
Well, let me be a little contrarian then, because if we got an oil price shock and oil went to 130 bucks and stayed there, you'd probably have an impact on the consumer and the economy, and you might have that sort of self-correcting move. It seems that the bigger danger is that the labor market's tighter than people think, that there isn't as much room for prices to rise. And we get something, Russ, that's between this modest, slowly rising inflation the Fed wants to see and a spike, something that spooks the bond market. And you see if you see that 10-year note going to 3% and going from there, what does that mean for stocks?
Well, a couple things. I mean, first of all, the wages, I'm a little less concerned about that. I do think the labor market is tightening, but there's still a lot of spare capacity. There are a lot of secular reasons why wages have been going down. In other words, longer-term reasons that have nothing to do with the financial crisis. And for those reasons, I don't think wages are going to spike anytime soon. Now, your second question about interest rates is interesting. Again, I think it depends on the context. If rates go back to 3%, and here we're talking about the 10-year Treasury note, but it happens because the economy is normalizing, I think the market can withstand that. I mean, let's all remember, rates were at 3% back in January. However, if rates are spiking to 3%, not because the economy is getting better, but because investors start to worry about inflation, or perhaps we see some selling by retail investors of bond funds, that's something else. So if the economy is getting better and rates go back to 3%, again, I think that's a situation the stock market can deal with.
So how would you position yourself then, Ross, assuming that you're going to go for the, the less catastrophic scenario and you think that stocks are going to withstand some kind of rise in rates, would you still go defensive?
No, I wouldn't, actually. This is a really interesting question. I think the problem with going defensive is it comes down to what are you defending against. If you're worried about an oil shock, if you're worried about, as Kathleen suggested, oil prices go up and that causes the economy to slip, then defensive makes sense because those companies, utilities, consumer staple companies, will be more resilient. If, on the other hand, what's likely to happen is the economy gets better and rates rise a bit, many of those defensive companies, particularly utilities, REITs, are going to respond the worst, because when rates rise, those are the types of companies with the valuations compressed the most. So under that scenario, the more benign scenario, I'd like to get a bit more cyclical. I want to own companies that take advantage of a stronger economy, companies like energy, technology, some industrials that will benefit from economic strength.
Well, it seems to me, in fact, that this whole question we've raised of, what if inflation spikes? What if the bond market moves too rapidly? That could all happen. But many people looking for a stock market correction, right? Because we've had the gains and but the market could get spooked in the second half of the year, et cetera. But it seems like what you're saying is, well, actually, we could have another sweet spot, right? Where people like you say, hey, let's buy the cyclicals. The economy's growing. Their prices are going up. The Fed's not going to freak out yet. And for now, it's time to buy.
I think that, again, if we can avoid a crisis in the Middle East, which right now is a big if, and by the way, if we do get a spike in oil, I think the market's vulnerable because volatility is too low. But that aside, again, rising rates don't scare me as long as they're rising for the right reason. And under that scenario, I don't think it's going to be a boom in the back half of the year. We're probably going to get some bumps along the way. But I do think that if the economy is strengthening and earnings are accelerating, then stocks can go higher even if rates rise a bit.
How much would you hedge with some treasuries or some other products?
Well, you always want to be hedged, and that's a great question. You know, it's never bonds or stocks. It's always both. And I think the one thing that bonds are doing in your portfolio right now, particularly treasuries, is they are providing that hedge. Now, in this environment where we expect rates to rise, we would own a little less of bonds and particularly treasuries than you typically do, because I think you're going to withstand some losses in the context of rising rates. But yes, you know, with volatility this low and lots of unrest in the world, you always want to have that cushion to give your portfolio a little less volatility.